This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
When we started the show here today, I told you we had a great day yesterday at the Do Something Great Awards. You can see the story and the photo gallery at nowdecatur.com. Kudos and congratulations to all of the honorees. And it was an interesting room. It's the first room I've been in, like, with a couple of hundred people since the whole Lincoln Park school conversation started and or ended.
Did the room have the old way of energy? Like, did it feel like pre-COVID times and all that?
No, I meant like when you will bump into several people involved way or another in the discussion.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Sure. Yeah. And so I don't mean like, you know, even if you go to a concert at the Devon, that's not sort of the same as like now you're going here. And so you get school board members or you get park people or you'll get people that just have an opinion. Yeah, I was certainly expecting it from Bob and Lucy yesterday, who couldn't make it at the last minute. They were going to be at our table because I had conversations with them. But it was just an interesting just sort of, you know, walking around and what's next. And then also like the things people will just say to you, like, I don't know if people just if they shy away from the commentary or the social media or they live in a vacuum. I don't know. There's always sort of a disconnect. Kind of like, we felt like we did everything. And you go, and then you're back to telling those four lies. Yeah, great.
Gave it a good shot.
Yeah. Thumbs up. But it was interesting because now we have this Oak Grove, evidently, right? You know, is the conversation. But yet I have heard nothing at all. And I'm not trying to put Clay in an uncomfortable spot, but I mean, just from me myself, I you know, other than maybe there's still a chance to do something good for the district and you got to pivot. And I feel bad for the folks at Dennis, but Nick and I have said from day one, don't send this money back to Washington, D.C. because someone else is going to spend it. You know, it might as well be here. You don't get these opportunities that often. Yet I don't really feel like much has been had, at least publicly, about this at all. I mean, maybe you have inside knowledge or...
No, we're waiting here. You know, we've heard Oak Grove School too.
I'm not saying that's official. I'm just saying that's what's been
is there park
relayed
land
to me.
Oh, adjacent to that?
Yeah, we've had a great relationship with the school district over the years with Oak Grove. When Oak Grove School was there and then the park, we actually put the playground in the place. So it was more convenient for the school when the kids were there. So, yeah, great relationship when it came to Oak Grove.
And it seems to be a little different. I mean, it's a neighborhood park. They're all neighborhood parks for the most part. Yeah. But it's not, I don't know though. I mean, you know, getting in and out, is it any easier there?
I don't know.
I mean, people made a huge deal out of the, you know, getting in and out of Lincoln Park, Oak Grove's a neighborhood park. It's a little different layout, you know, in my head. It's been a while since I've been over there. But there's certainly enough land.
Yeah, there is plenty of land in Oak Grove. You look at the other parks that were adjacent to schools at one time, the old Garfield location there on Oakland and what is that? Grand?
Grand. Yeah.
And then we've got Hess Park with, I don't even know what the name of the school is next to that one now. But both those parks have tremendous amounts of land.
Because at some point in our life as human beings, we said we should build schools in neighborhoods. I mean, that was clearly a philosophy.
Well, and it worked well for the school district and the park district.
Let me say, it's also these schools are old enough where there wasn't transportation, meaning there were no cars. And so it probably made a lot of sense to build a school in a neighborhood because people had no other way to get there.
Right.
So, all right. So you don't have any other than just hearing the same things I'm hearing?
Yep.
Okay.
That Durfee Garfield land is the one I've been asking about like three times. Yes, it just seems so huge.
Okay, but you're then also asking them to change all of the boundaries in the district. Well, I know, but you jump over that small feat every time you bring that up.
I know.
The details.
Look, I'd let them put a school in my front yard. We need one of these buildings. Let's go.
Yeah, but you also need to be able to do it without upending the entire.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, redrawing boundaries is a very complicated thing. I mean, it is, you know.
I can only imagine the logistics of bus routes and trying to figure all that out.
But
I mean,
just legalities, what's required under the law. I mean, that's like you pick up this thing and now you got nine other things to worry about. I mean, it is. I'm not saying it can't be done, but if they could do it without doing that, that would be, you know, because now you're if we can get it in a place where people aren't upset about it and you can do it without having to redraw the boundaries, then you're only upsetting this little area, not the entire district. And then what if happens if your kid loves their school, but now all of a sudden they're in another school because the boundaries had to be redrawn to build this school?
Which would certainly happen.
Oh, absolutely. And then now they're outraged. So I don't know. Keep me posted if you hear anything.
We'll do.
All right. So tonight, free concert. I was telling Nick yesterday, he was surprised that the Decatur Municipal Band may be the only thing older than Dennis School in Decatur, Illinois.
Way older.
No, not way
older. Yeah, it was like 1857. Yeah, and Dennis is like 1910.
I thought it was 1901, but...
Oh, 1901. Yeah, okay.
It's closer than you think.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's as close to that as it is to today.
Sure. That's right. Fair. That's
okay.
Fair.
So, 1857, and they're playing at the Devon, which I know they play... There's a couple of shows in Fairview Park. They play down in Central Park. But the Devon is such a great setting because it's just it's a different way to see them. And I went to their website and looked at the lineup of tunes they're going to do. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So this is their last concert of the season, as I understand it. And so they're doing at the Devon tonight. Absolutely free concert starting at 6:30 p.m. down at the Devon. We'll have concessions available. You know, it looks like they're featuring Aaron Villarreal, who I know is a tremendous percussionist from Milliken, and Troy Castle. I don't know that gentleman, but those are the two guests tonight. So 6:30 p.m. start time down at the Devon tonight. Free concert. Last one of the year for the Muni Band.
All right. So what time you said 6:30, right?
6:30. Yep.
Okay. And if you want to be able to, I would assume get there a little bit early. And once again, if you want to sit up on the lawn, you know,
lawn terrace, bring your lawn chairs. There are some reserve seats available down front too, but best bet to bring your lawn chair just in case. Don't know what the crowd will be tonight, so come prepared.
All right. And is there any other rules that you guys have that, you know, if they're not regular attendees? I mean, I would assume this is going to bring maybe some audience that hasn't been to the Devon.
Yep. Don't bring too big of a purse or a bag with you. We do search those bags, and we ask that they be clear bags if they are possible to be that. And then just bring a little cash with you and leave your big bags in the car. No umbrellas, but I think we're going to have beautiful weather for tonight. But yeah.
And you know, it's interesting to me. I mean, I've seen a few, you know, arguments, you know, at the gate, not a lot, but a few. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty standard protocol, right? I mean, in a world that, trust me, I would assume everybody would love not to do all of this, but we see what happens out there.
Absolutely.
And to ensure the safety of everyone, you know, that's why this stuff is put in place. It's not put in place just to make your life inconvenient.
But some of it is our own rules. Some of it are the rules of most of the bands we have. You know, they don't want anybody bringing anything into the venue, like strollers and things that could be thrown, or umbrellas that, you know, could be thrown or become a risk in severe weather if they get loose. So, you know, we follow all those guidelines. And Brian, kind of in line with that, I was surprised. We went over to the State Fair over the weekend, and, you know, we walked in the main gate, no real checks. But then I noticed down at the grandstand for the concerts, lots and lots of checks to be able to come into a concert. So
and you know, I look, you know, artists have a right. There's just cray stuff that goes on, and you know, they have riders. And for those of you who, you know, I think Van Halen probably, you know, and most of it was rumor, but you know, they became famous for, you know, the Eminem story. And I mean, they have a list of demands before they play your venue that you have to meet.
Absolutely. What's called a rider. And then you look at even a band like the LFO and O-Town we had last weekend at the Devon, they had all kinds of security concerns backstage because they, you know, keep the crazy moms away, you know. But it's kind of interesting to see even they had strict protocols for what we had to follow when they were here.
They didn't have any translators, did they?
No.
Yeah, okay. That seems almost exclusive to the hip-hop world. I don't know. I guess that's a sign of, like, when you really have made it.
I saw it with a really, really, really big rock band one time, too.
Why are you being all obscure about it?
Of Linkin Park.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, okay. you're right about that. I was kind of thinking, would I consider them a really, really big rock band? Yeah, at a time, they were about as big as it gets. I'd never seen anything like that. Have you had any translators?
I more call them handlers.
Yeah.
Than translators. But yes, over my time at the Devon, I can't remember exact ones, but I do remember the guys who were really down to earth, the Trace Atkins, the Kevin Costners. I mean, Kevin was inviting everybody backstage who was one of crew members or a police officer to come take a picture.
Yeah.
So you have those really cool folks, and then you have those folks who are like, stay away from
and
me.
And one could argue somebody like Kevin Costner is way bigger than T.I. I mean, you know, as a movie star, a TV star, some of the most iconic movies of all time, he's a musician. And I guess I feel like that guy got through all of this life still being comfortable around people, right?
Yeah, and actually, I remember last year when we had Genuine and Chingy. They came right out and spent, I think, an hour and a half after the show hanging out with people. So, you know, you have both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean everybody in the hip-hop world. Yeah. I just had never seen the translation with the T.I. thing before.
Yeah.
I mean, literally standing right there.
What was it? Was it Boys to Men at the celebration? Who was that celebration? I think it
we
was
had Boys
them.
To Men before.
I think I ran monitors for them when they were here, and ooh, yeah, you couldn't even look at them. I don't think on stage. At least.
If you get to a point where that you can demand that people not look at you,
well, I think it's probably a tough pill to swallow when you're the biggest act on the planet playing, you know, Wembley Stadium, and then you're on the street. I think it's probably...
So you're arguing they should be less humble because they've been humble?
I'm just saying some people can't swallow that big of a gulp, I think.
Then go home. Don't take the paycheck. You're here to entertain.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. But I bring all that up only because that's the outlier stuff. I mean, most people that come to the Dev and have a great time and play by the rules and don't act silly, right? And most of the bands come in and have a great time and play by the rules. It is just a finicky world, you know, in and around that. And sometimes you get people that show up and just act like fools at the front gate just because you got basic stuff you got to do to get right in.
And we learned very early in the day, you know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning when the bands first arrive, usually their crew will come first and then the band will follow. You learn what the backstage politics are pretty quickly. It's like, oh, it's going to be that type of week here. So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk fall hours because this is the big week where everything sort of begins to move into a different hours of operation. So Scoville Zoo, right?
Yep.
Now through October 10th will be what?
So now through October 10th, Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. The last admission is an hour before closing. I'm sorry, that's Saturday and Sunday, 9:30 to 6 p.m. So if you want to come to the zoo and you're planning a late afternoon visit, always get there an hour early before the gates close.
Yeah.
Then we head to Overlook Adventure Park. Again, a lot of our employees are high school kids. They've gone back to school. So we've transitioned to fall hours there, Thursday, 4 to 8 p.m., Friday, 4 to 10 p.m., and then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. So the cool thing about Friday's nights is I've noticed over the last couple of years, you know, a lot of high schools have football games on Friday nights, and we're either getting kids before the game or after the game to come over mini golf and spend some time. So that's a cool thing that happens in the fall for us. So and then Splash Cove, we transition to just weekends on Saturday and Sunday from noon until 6:30 p.m. And then our last day is September 5th from noon to 6:30 p.m. And then Splash Cove will be closed for the season.
And that Memorial Day to Labor Day, traditional pool hours, right? I mean, that's the way it's always been.
Yep. Absolutely. And what we run into now is we've got so many kids who are lifeguards going back to college. And then we've got our high school kids who are still around. But it gets harder and harder to get those kids who, after they've gone back to school for a solid week, who want to come and work on a Saturday and Sunday for us. But we are going to do our best to stay open and make sure that we offer the next three weekends to folks until we close.
Okay. This weekend at the Devon Amphitheater, told you the municipal band tonight for free, 6:30. And then that is their last show of the year. So if you haven't had a chance to see them, maybe you don't like bringing the lawn chair down, you know, you can bring a blanket and check it out in a different way. But Saturday is the Silver Bullet tribute to Bob Seger with special guest Lady Luck. Now, these guys, are they from the St. Louis area? Because I know they've played a lot in and around like Ballpark Village and some of the other things that are down there, another amphitheater in St. Louis. Are they St. Louis guys?
I believe they are.
Okay.
Yep. So Saturday, this Saturday, August 20th, 7 p.m., these guys are really popular down in St. Louis area, as you mentioned. It was a huge year for these guys. They played headlining shows at the Family Arena, the Ballpark Village down at the stadium, and Chesterfield Amphitheater. So they're a really good Bob Seger tribute band. So we want you to come out and enjoy that show with us on Saturday.
All right. Tickets can be purchased at the Devon Amphitheater.com, actually just devonamphitheater.com, and you can check that out. Now, you got coming up, a Girl Named Tom, which is, I was kind of surprised. I was not familiar with this band, but a lot of people have asked about, I always can tell by the inquiry about, do you have tickets? Yeah. You know what I mean? And then Marshall Tucker coming up on August 27th. He said tickets are doing pretty well there, but yep, you still have some available.
Absolutely.
All right. And then we've got our 95 Q Fan Appreciation Concert with Jake Owen on September 1st.
Yep, and if you're wanting to come to that show, I know that show is well over 2,000 right now. You need to get tickets soon because it's going fast. So we're real excited about that show and the shows we've got coming up next few weekends.
All right, is September 1st the last show?
No.
No, I'm looking at the website. It's by calendar month, I guess. Okay. So we got more in September, right?
We do. September, and I think there's a couple to bleed over in October this year even.
All right. And what about overall attendance year over year?
It's been good. Last year, we were hovering right around that 40,000 mark, a little over. This year, we're tracking to be over 50,000, if not 60,000. So we've got another couple months here to get through, but numbers are looking really good for the Devon. And, you know, this year it seems we've had more shows that are hovering right around that 2,000, 2,400 mark, which is a good number. It's comfortable in there. You're not at that 3,000 sellout mark that the bathrooms get really bad and things like that. So we've had a lot of great shows that are, like I said, hovering around that 2,000 mark. That's a real good thing for the venue.
All right, September 3rd is Heartache Tonight, Nick, a tribute to the Eagles. That'd be one of those, like the Bob Seger thing this weekend. I mean, they come out and play 30 songs, and you know the words to every single one, right? And then if you're not able to get out to see the Municipal Band, put September 5th, that's the Labor Day Pops concert where the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra is really good. Drew Hill coming up, Pork Tornadoes, you got Movies in the Park, Zach Williams Fall Tour, you got Wedding Band coming back. That's just in the month of September. And as Clay mentioned, I'm going to October. Then Platinum Rock Legends, October 1st. And then October 8th. I wonder if Nick's going to be busy that week. You got Devon on Tap, Craft Beer and Music Festival.
Yeah.
So it looks like the 8th is the final event.
I haven't looked that far in October yet, but I knew it was October we're shutting down. So
well, there you have it. All right. So what else is going on? Oh, Shalith is going to be sworn in today.
Yes, today at noon at our park board meeting. Shalith Hansborough will be our next park board commissioner sworn in today after being appointed by the board. So we're excited to have Shalith join us. I had an opportunity to have lunch with her last week with Bob Brilli and some of our staff members to kind of orientate her and have a conversation. And I've never met her before, but wow, she's really interesting individual. Definitely a smart gal.
Yeah, she's great. We've known each other for a long time, and it's a good thing. Can I ask you, not that you have the history of this, but why does the Park Board of Commissioners meet on a Wednesday at noon?
That's just traditionally when it's always been.
Okay.
Once a month?
No, every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
I think when there's hot topics, we were discussing with the Lincoln Park thing if we were going to need to move to an evening to a larger site as well, just to give folks a little more opportunity. But a lot of the feedback things, you know, come to me via email, and I share those with the board, or folks will email the board members if they have something they want to talk about. But it works well for us. It keeps the meetings very efficient because we try to get the board members in now there in an hour and a half to 2 hours because they've got jobs to do. But it's worked well over the years. So.
Yeah, I just wonder how that started, because it is kind of unusual for public boards, and that clearly isn't your purview or anything that you have control over. I just wonder, you know, if you go back in the history and like figure out why that happened, like, because it is almost every other board meets in the evening hours under the assumption that if people wanted to participate and they work jobs that they couldn't get 2 hours in the middle of the day to come to a meeting.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm on a daytime board.
Are you?
Yep.
Well, is it a taxing body board?
No.
Okay, then you can be whatever time you want to be.
I'm just saying. Different.
There's a big... I'm on a... Most boards that are nonprofit boards meet during the day. The argument is taxing body boards meet at night when they're more accessible to the general public.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're a completely different thing.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is when I was at Richland, and this is long ago, eight, nine years ago, I'm trying to remember if we had public come to any of those meetings.
No one pays attention to the Richland board.
No, but at the same time, you run the risk of going to a 3-4 hour meeting because folks have a lot of time to just go into whatever. And so,
yeah, I'm going to stop you right there because I don't want you to say anything that's going to get you in trouble, because this has got nothing to do with you. I mean, this is the board level stuff. I'm just wondering, there's got to be a story somewhere about how that started, because it is unique versus most of the boards.
I'll see if I can find it out.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not even agreeing with it. I mean, I think in today's world of communication, you know, everybody's so much more accessible than they were 30 years ago, you know, when you had to rely on being at a city council meeting at 5 o'clock to have your voice heard. I mean, you know, that was pre-everything. All right. Good stuff. We got tonight. Great concert. Free concert. Maybe if you haven't been to the Devon, maybe it's just not your thing for rock bands or whatever, and you want to just go see. I saw the set list. It's going to be great. They're going to do Star Trek. Can you imagine Jurassic Park, you know, with the sun setting and beautiful Lake Decatur with that incredible ambiance? That'll be the best Muni Band concert of the year.
And the weather's looking wonderful.
Oh, 84, perfect. Yeah. Well, and by the time the sun starts to go down a little, you're going to be nice and maybe even sweater weather.
Nick, if you can keep it like 84 through the week, but then on the weekends, jump it up to 90, 95, so we have a good day at the pool.
Good day at the
Appreciate
pool?
That, yeah.
Okay. I'll do what I can.
Yeah.
Get that good swim weather in before it's all over.
Yeah, absolutely. Clay, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. We do have, I have my four seats to give away for the Silver Bullet tribute band, and I'll do that before the end of the show today. We'll just need an email address so I can send those to them digitally. And we hope you enjoy the show. It's been a great season, and you know, 50,000 people visiting the Devon Lakeshore on track for that number, way more than last year, which is unbelievable because last year was like the welcome back party, right? It was like year one all over again. This year, outpacing that. And I just really do believe throwing the whole Kevin Costner thing in, you know, if you build it, they will come. And some people just don't have that vision. Others do. And if you think about what that park looked like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and what it looks like today, it's unbelievable.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.